11 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. The time now is 1 o'clock. Time for the news with David Cornett.
The Afghan government has announced that it's planning to hold a meeting with the Taliban in the coming weeks in an attempt to start formal peace talks. BBC News understands that a meeting will take place in Saudi Arabia before the militant group sets up an office in the Gulf state of Qatar. The Taliban has previously refused to recognise President Karzai's government as legitimate. The Work and Pension Secretary, Ian Duncan Smith, has given the clearest indication yet that the government wants the chief executive of the Royal Bank of Scotland to forego his share bonus of almost £1 million. In an interview this morning, Mr. Duncan Smith said that no one would be happier than the government if Stephen Hester chose to reject the offer. His Labour shadow, Liam Byrne, said the government was wrong not to use its majority shareholding in the bank to force Mr. Hester to hand back the bonus. The Syrian capital, Damascus, has been the scene of some of the most intense fighting there since the start of the uprising 10 months ago. Around 2,000 government troops, backed by tanks, are said to be attempting to regain control of suburbs held by army deserters. Opposition groups say at least 30 people have been killed. Inspectors from the United Nations nuclear watchdog, the IAEA, have begun a 3-day visit to Iran. The mission is designed to address evidence that the country is conducting nuclear weapons research. The head of the inspection team said he hoped Iran would cooperate with efforts to assess the military dimensions of its nuclear program. The infection, which led to the deaths of 3 babies at a neonatal unit in Belfast, has been found at another hospital in the city. The Pseudomonas bacterium at the Ulster Hospital was again found in water outlets. No babies being treated there have tested positive for the infection so far, though screening is continuing. And the weather, heavy rain will continue across Wales and southwest England, turning to snow over the hills, with some scattered showers in Northern Ireland, northern and western Scotland and northeast England. Elsewhere, it'll stay mainly fine, with some sunny spells. BBC News and weather at 1:02.
With David Cornett. I'm Jill Anderson. Very good afternoon to you. Looking ahead to 2 o'clock, our Sunday concert is a concert given by the BBC Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Andrew Gourlay. We'll be hearing the first UK performance of Andrew Norman's Unstuck. Then Daniel Hope will be the soloist in Britten's Violin Concerto. And we'll also hear Shostakovich's Symphony No. 10. That all starts at 2 o'clock. But time now for the early music show. Here's Lucy Skeeping.
Welcome to the show. We're looking at the work of 2 17th century Italian composers today. Not exactly household names, but important in that they were both right at the forefront at some of the new developments that were happening in music at the time. They were more or less contemporaries, but whilst Tarquinio Merula spent much of his time as a church musician, Marco Uccellini was employed at some of the grandest courts of Italy. Both were violinists, though, at a time when the instrument was really coming into its own, and later on we'll be hearing some lovely early violin pieces by Uccellini, which show some of the very latest experiments in technique. But we're going to start with Merula, and a piece entitled, not very promisingly it must be said, La Posteria. It's an instrumental canzona, a form which, as its name suggests, was traditionally based on a part song or chanson, although composers like Merula gradually began to invent their own original canzonas. As you'll hear, this one's made up of several short sections, each with its own characteristic rhythm, from the gentle 3-time opening to the robust 4-4 sections that are introduced by the harpsichord. In fact, these little multifaceted canzonas were very significant in that they heralded the beginning of the idea of separate movements, what we now call, of course, the sonata. La Posteria, a canzone by Tarquinio Merula, performed there by La Ciaconna. It was recorded for us by the European Broadcasting Union, and the concert was given at the Church of Saint-Germain in Geneva. And we'll be hearing other highlights from the concert as we go through the programme. So just who was this Tarquinio Merula? Well, he was born in the last few years of the 1500s in or near Cremona, a town which was already fast becoming a centre of violin making. He first served as organist at the Church of the Incoronata, a beautiful Renaissance jewel of a building in Lodi, in the Lombardy region of northern Italy. And 8 years later, he'd moved up in the world as organist to the King of Poland, no less, at his castle in Warsaw. But by the time Merula reached 30, we find him back in Cremona as maestro di cappella at the cathedral. And it was here, surrounded by the fabulous medieval frescoes, that he began writing some of his most important sacred works. But as for Merula's style, well, he wasn't one to look backwards. Far from it. In fact, he took his inspiration from the very progressive ideas coming out of Venice at the time, new forms of music being explored by Monteverdi and Gabrielli that were characterised by great vocal clarity and by lines conceived in terms of harmony rather than complex webs of counterpoint as had been done in the past. This is Corde et Animo. With heart and soul, sing the glory of Christ in this saintly solemnity of Mary, the highest Mother of God.
Corde et Animo, Christo cantamus gloriam. Corde et Animo, Christo cantamus gloriam.
Corde et Animo. Ensemble Fitzwilliam performed that sacred motet by the Italian Renaissance composer Tarquinio Merula. Such beautiful, pure music that it's hard to imagine anyone writing it could have led anything other than a spotless life, you could say. But the fact is, Merula now managed to get himself embroiled in a rather dodgy lawsuit. He was just 2 years into his contract at the Church of Santa Maria Maggiore in Bergamo when he was suddenly dismissed. The charge was indecent behaviour towards several of his pupils, which he strongly denied and was eventually reinstated. But after more hoo-ha, he finally returned once more to Cremona and to his job at the cathedral. This was certainly an unsettled time then. And yet through all this, the music Merrilla produced reveals no lack of confidence. Let's hear a couple more of his canzonas. La Pighetta is a bit of a tour de force over the simplest of repeating chord patterns. But first of all, La Dada, in the style of a fanfare introduced with great drama, perhaps a little comedy.
Thank you.
La Dada and La Pighetta, two canzonas by Tarquinio Merula. The performance there were La Ciccona, part of a concert they gave last year. Well, as we've heard, Merula, active in northern Italy during the mid-17th century, was seen as something of a pioneer when it came to style. We're going to hear another of his sacred works a little later on, pieces that were influenced in particular by Venice-based composers like Monteverdi and Gabrielli. But first, here's Bernard Aubatin with one of Merula's keyboard pieces, which explores the chromatic possibilities of the harpsichord as it takes us through a variety of complex and often quite extreme harmonies and melodic phrases. Capriccio Chromatica by Merula, performed there on the harpsichord by Bernard Aubatin. Merula was no less inventive, mind you, when it came to sacred music. The motet we're going to hear now has a mysterious quality about it, strange harmonic movements reminiscent of Monteverdi that take us through light and shade, carried forward by constantly pulsating bass line. O quam delecta. Oh, how beautiful is the Holy Mother of God. O quam delecta by Tarquinio Merula, performed by Ensemble Fitzwilliam. Well, in the second half of today's programme, we're going to be dipping into some works by Merula's contemporary, Uccellini. But there's just time for one final example of Merula's music, an instrumental piece again based on a harmonic pattern that's repeated round and round, whilst the recorder and violin give us a fast-moving series of playful melodic phrases. Rather like jazz riffs, I guess.
Thank you.
A little flourish there to end Tarquinio Merula's La Ciacona. So now, on to our second Italian Renaissance composer, whose name is Marco Uccellini. I'm afraid there's very little information about this chap at all, but we do know that he was a violinist and a composer who pushed the boundaries when it came to technique. Uccellini was head of instrumental music at the court of the Estes, and although much of his output is sadly lost, what we do have clearly shows the emergence of this new violin style, as we're going to hear in this sonata. It's entitled La Laura Rilucente, literally Shining Laura, which one imagines is a reference or perhaps a dedication to one of the more attractive ladies of the court.
Thank you.
Marco Uccellini's sonata La Laura Rilucente, recorded at a concert given by La Ciaccona. Well, a change of texture now, with a delicate aria for the theorbo, a large lute, and a harpsichord, beautifully played here by Nigel North and John Toll. A very sweet combination of theorbo and harpsichord in aria number 2, opus 4 by Marco Uccellini. Well, I promised you more violin music, and we have two sonatas now to finish the programme, this time led by not one, but two violins. As we've heard, like Merula, Uccellini was keen to experiment with all sorts of new colours and chords, keys which no one had previously thought possible, and, of course, notes that take the player higher in pitch than ever before. And they're all here. Listen out for the trumpety fanfares as well, passed between the two violins that bring the piece to an exciting close. Scola Cantorum Basiliensis, playing a sonata from Marco Uccellini's Opus 7, written in Venice in 1660. Well, to end today's programme, there's just time to hear the group La Ciaconna once more in a final Uccellini piece from the concert that we've been dipping in and out of today. It's in the form of a Bergamasque dance, which no doubt reflects Uccellini's life spent providing music for courtly entertainments. And it certainly has all the right ingredients, playful lines, colourful textures and rhythms, and in a good way, of course, just the sort of relentlessness needed to encourage even the most dedicated wallflower to loosen her corset and get onto the dance floor.
La Bergamasca from a sonata by Marcello Uccellini, played by the ensemble La Ciaconna. That ends today's early music show, which was presented by Lucy Skeeping. In next Saturday's programme, Catherine Bott visits Lincoln to explore the world of cathedral choristers over the last 500 years. And that's at the same time, just after 1 o'clock, here on Radio 3.
A, B, C,
1, 2, 3.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
J.S. Bach. Avo Piert. Numbers. Honey. What's the connection?
Bach.
Back.
Bark.
Park or Bart.
Part to pet. Heart.
Pact.
Pack.
And back.
To Bach.
Find out tonight
at 7:45
on BBC Radio 3. Bach and the Art of Beekeeping.
Well, back to this afternoon, and at 4 o'clock we'll be hearing choral evensong, last Wednesday's service from Durham Cathedral for the Feast of the Conversion of St Paul. And much of the music in that service comes from Mendelssohn's oratorio St Paul. But now it's just after 2 o'clock, and Catherine Bott introduces our Sunday concert, recorded recently in London.
Welcome to the Barbican Hall in London for this Sunday concert. The BBC Symphony Orchestra will perform Shostakovich's 10th Symphony, composed in the months following the death of Stalin, Britten's Violin Concerto with soloist Daniel Hope, and to start the concert, the UK premiere of Unstuck by the American composer Andrew Norman. The conductor was to have been Thomas Dalsgaard, but sadly he is unwell and no longer able to take part, so we're grateful to the young British conductor Andrew Gourlay for taking his place at short notice, thus making his debut with the BBC Symphony Orchestra. We'll be hearing from Andrew Gourlay later on, but now the other Andrew in the concert, composer Andrew Norman. He's Californian, 32 years old, and seriously considered becoming an architect when he was in his teens, but he was already winning awards for composition by then, so he chose to be a musical architect instead. His first big success was Gran Turismo in 2004, which has been described as a Vivaldi-esque romp for 8 violins. Tonight's piece, Unstuck, isn't a romp, but the composer does describe it as unleashed. It had its beginnings in a major episode of Composer's Block in the winter of 2008, when Andrew Norman says he had never been more stuck. During rehearsals, I talked to Andrew and began by asking him, what's it like when your writing grinds to a halt?
There's something about the blank page that just is completely terrifying, and I look at it and I start going down this rabbit hole of big questions, sort of what kind of artist am I, what kind of work do I want to make, and it can be so challenging just to write those first notes. I realized that I needed to, in a way, write a piece that was about that process of being stuck and that feeling of finally coming unstuck and finally letting everything go and the release of just kind of letting it all out.
And I've read that the key was a sentence from Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five.
Yes, yes, there's a sentence that Billy Pilgrim has come unstuck in time. That was actually the hook that got me really thinking about the form of this piece. I had all this material, these sort of fragments, and they were all kind of laying around, and I realized that what I was trying to do was create a kind of narrative that is all jumbled in time and doesn't begin at the beginning and it doesn't end at the end. I realized as I was writing it that the three cellos are sort of the protagonists. They have this one idea, it's just a scale in all three cellos, and they start very low, and about midway up, they keep getting cut off by the orchestra. Like every time they try, someone interrupts them and they get stuck on one chord. And it became the sort of drama of the piece for me is, can these three cellos get off this chord and find their way to wherever it is they need to go? As of now, there are two different endings that I've given the cellists and the conductor the choice of using. And to me, that it's one of the beauties of the kind of music that I write is that I can empower people who are complete strangers to me to make large decisions about my work, which I love.
Composer of Unstuck, Andrew Norman. Well, the orchestra is ready, and we welcome now to the platform the orchestra's leader, Anna Coleman. And now to conduct the BBC Symphony Orchestra in the first UK performance of Unstuck by Andrew Norman, here's Andrew Gourlay.
Thank you.
Thank you.